Hi, welcome to the Subway ad for $2.99 subs. How would you like it?
I'll take Drill Sergeant, please.
You got it.
All right, now listen up. I want each and every one of you to drop and give me a 6-inch meatball marinara, cold cut combo, veggie delight, or Black Forest ham on your choice of bread with any veggies you want for just $2.99 each.
Sir, yes, sir!
Subway! Make it what you want at participating restaurants. Additional charge for extras plus applicable tax. No additional discounts or coupons may be applied.
This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
BFM 89.9, the business station. It is that time of night. My name is Rich Bradbury.
And my name is Adeline Chung.
We are joined in the studio by...
Rashid Saleh.
Rashid Saleh. Hello, how are you,
hello.
Sir?
I am fine, just about. I was sick much.
What was wrong with you?
I had a viral fever.
Uh-oh.
And influenza, negative on dengue.
Right.
Mm-hmm. So I met my friend's vomit and Mr. Diarrhea for like 5 days. And,
oh.
And yeah.
That's not pleasant.
And a lots of changing clothes because of sweating.
But nice way to open up the show.
Yes.
Yeah.
I love you guys.
You look all healthy right now.
You guys will be okay. I've pretty much recovered, I think.
You think you're all right?
Yeah.
Do we need to quarantine anything? You know, is everything okay? I mean,
can't you tell? Like, I've got a mask over me.
Really? Right. So, what have you been up to then?
Apart from
visiting the toilet, obviously.
Well, I've been a very good father to my two kids.
Mm-hmm.
I've got a 3-year-old son and a 1-year-old girl. I've pretty much spent a lot more time with them than going to work.
Right.
My work is I've pretty much been doing. Rugby stuff. I'm head of media for the Asia Rugby Championship that's happening in May.
Mm-hmm.
I'm also the co-host and also scriptwriter for a TV reality mixed martial arts show called Mima that's going to be on national television. And the other thing I'm doing is just pretty much relaxing, but we have also an improv comedy show called Act Olympics that's been around for the last...
Right.
18 years.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
on stage.
Yeah.
With Aflin Chowki, Christina Oro, Kwa Jen Han, Douglas Lim, mm-hmm. Razif, myself.
Joe Kukatas.
Joe Kukatas used to do it.
When
yeah.
is that happening?
Used to do it. That's happening on the 4th till the 8th of May.
Awesome stuff.
Yeah.
So there's a whole bunch of stuff we can talk about then. We can talk
yes.
about rugby a little bit later on. Clearly,
yeah.
you're very passionate about that.
Mm.
We can talk about mixed martial arts. We had a guest recently, Ari Mustonen. He's from Estonia,
right.
And he's very big into mixed martial arts and
yes.
that kind of stuff.
Yes.
Yeah, he's somebody you should probably talk to, actually.
Oh, he better talk to the guys.
Oh,
he's
also he's a fighter and a commentator. So,
does he speak English?
Well.
He does speak
he does.
Very good English.
Very
does he speak Estonian?
Yes, he does.
Great, we can open up a channel for them.
That's it.
There we go.
Yeah, it should be interesting stuff, folks. Of course, we have a giveaway this evening, like every night. 0162019000. Don't forget to include your full name, your IC, why you deserve to win, and all that. Lovely stuff. You can hear the question in between the advertisements.
Yes,
and
that's
stuff.
Right. So if you have any questions, you can actually tweet us at BFM Radio or BFM TTON. And don't forget to follow us on Instagram at BFM TTON as well.
All right. We're going to take a very short break, but we will be back, of course, with Rashid in a few minutes. Don't go anywhere. It is that time of night here on BFM 89.9. BFM 89.9. It is that time of night. I'm Rich Bradbury.
Now I'm Madeline Chung.
This is
Rashid Saleh.
Right, Rashid, let's get down to business, shall we? Let's talk about rugby. And where did the passion for this come from? Have you always been a rugby fan?
I grew up in England. So I first came to England in 1981 or 82. I was
right.
9 years old.
Right.
And we went the Malvern Hills, Worcestershire, you know.
Yeah.
Grass.
Yeah.
Agriculture.
Uh-huh.
Cows.
Right.
Cow dung.
Uh-huh.
Nothing
uh-huh.
else.
But rolling around in that
yeah,
stuff. You're talking
farmers,
to the man now.
Yeah,
yeah,
exactly. So, yeah. And it was middle of winter when I first arrived. Didn't know what the cold was.
Right.
Come from Malaysia.
Yeah.
Not only from Malaysia, I came from Sarawak. So like, you know, from trees.
Mm-hmm,
lived
mm-hmm.
on trees. Actually, no, we were actually Mlanausa, we're fishermen. Anyway, so, you know, from nice hot country to freezing cold weather in the early 80s, and you're thrown into the deep end. So, yeah, it was the rugby season, so I had to learn very, very fast. And I did start off as a winger.
Right.
At the age of 9. And
right.
yeah, you had to run or else you'll just freeze your...
Yeah.
Richard, you were a winger as well, right?
I was a winger
your
too, yeah.
gonads
yeah.
off.
Well, I mean, the university I went to was in Warrington, so we're home of the Warrington Wolves, of course.
Yeah.
And so it was one of those unis where you either played rugby, you watched rugby, or you were part of it in some way.
Yeah. Exactly.
And if you weren't, then you were frowned upon. You know, yes. there was a football team, but everybody was like,
ooh.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Why does anybody want to play
Union
football?
Union or league?
Right.
Football. What's that?
Right. It was all that kind of stuff, and so. The whole what do you think about the whole culture of rugby? I mean, let's be honest, it's a tough game, it's a lot of fun, it's gentlemanly, and there's a lot of drinking involved.
Well, you know, I think people tend to forget. You know, you always see the surface, but the one thing that I've learned and I've experienced over the last 30 years playing it and working in this industry as a rugby player, it's helped me open a lot of doors.
Right.
It's also when I remember when I was, I'll give you an example. I was shooting in New Zealand on a film in the, oh my god, early 2000s, the prerequisite there was supposed to be a New Zealand crew there to shoot with the Malaysian crew, and the guys were rugby players.
Right.
Found out I was a rugby player.
Mm-hmm.
They took me to places where. Right. Where no one would have taken us, or actually just me, because everyone else was. And I got to watch, at the time it was Super 12s,
right.
Before it became Super 15s. And got to watch a lot of rugby, got into the culture there. And because you're a rugby player, you're treated as a brother. There's a lot of camaraderie, there's a lot of discipline, there's a lot of family sort of atmosphere involved, apart from the drinking and all that. But the one thing, you know, they teach you, like, you know, because you've bled together, you've broken bones together, you've gone on the field together, doesn't matter whether you're a president, doctor, or on the field, we're
all the everybody's same. The same.
Yeah.
But I didn't know about the drinking part though, because back then
something prevalent with every other team sport.
Yeah, but I don't think in Malaysia.
Oh no,
right?
We don't do that in Malaysia.
No,
come on.
No.
I mean, I've played touch rugby once
at school.
Yeah,
you didn't touch a beer, did you? You touched a person. Haram. Get out.
Yeah, just one game, and I just like, not my kind.
It's not your game.
No, not really.
Why?
I played with Sri Aman International School, Sri Aman School actually, girls' school, and it was a great experience playing rugby for the first time.
Yeah.
But I just feel that I ended up with netball.
Touch rugby is very, like, you know, you got to be really fit.
I was fitter back then. Now.
I mean, I love rugby. I mean, even today, not today literally, but right now, my mother will call me up and she'll give me the scores and she'll say what game she's watching. And we had this joke back years ago that my mum would joke about. She couldn't ever sit and watch boxing with my grandfather because he'd be sat literally boxing in his sofa and it would be really irritating. And now my dad calls me to say, mother's watching rugby again. She can't sit still. She's screaming at the TV.
Okay.
You know, so I come from a rugby family.
Yeah.
And it's lovely to kind of, you know, meet somebody else who's as passionate about watching
it.
Even, I don't play anymore.
Yeah.
But being able to talk to somebody and know that, you know, if you want to go to watch a game somewhere or you want to get together, there's a community.
Exactly. The community is actually growing now. Even with junior development, there's so many junior teams out there in the country now, especially in the Klang Valley.
Mm-hmm.
And you can pretty much send your son there. I had I'll give you another example. Patrick Till's son.
Yeah.
Mm.
He's now should be 13, Adam. He was sitting down doing nothing, you know, he's quite a large lad, didn't want to play, didn't want to do stuff. I actually told him, go get off your, you know, behind and go to our junior program, Crobats. From day one, loved it, had gained new friends, and now loves being fit.
Yeah.
And, you know, that's one thing that I couldn't believe it. I mean, it was a perfect example of a kid who grows up from those iPad eras,
right,
and now he's out in the field every Sunday,
and that's a genuine concern.
Yes,
you know, is that entire era of kids who see the outside world through the lens of an iPad, and getting them outside and encouraging kids to become fit and have fun, you know,
which is why my son has two rugby balls,
right? And no iPads.
Not to remind. No, he has an iPad. Not to remind him that he's got two balls, but he's got two rugby balls.
I mean, okay, let's talk about. You were just saying that there's a whole bunch of clubs popping up around the Klang Valley,
right?
Do you see more kids and more parents pushing their kids towards this thing in a good way?
Yes, I think there's the way our club. I'm actually the media head for the Cobra Rugby Club. We've actually encouraged people to try it out because, at the end of the day, we're trying to encourage more kids to be physically aware of their own bodies. Mm. We want them to be out and about in the outdoors, because what we've noticed, especially in this generation, especially with the digital era now, a lot of people are too focused on their smartphones and all that.
That's true.
You got to give one day in the week just to let your kids, especially those with so much energy, let them out in the field, whether it's rugby, whether it's football. But rugby does that.
Yeah.
And it also lets you know, physically be in communication with somebody else and let them know that there's a real world out there.
Yeah.
And with the kids, especially, we started off with about 10, 15 kids a couple of years back, and we've got 100 over kids now. And that shows that, you know, it something like this does work. And you've got to encourage it. You've got to encourage sporting abilities and extracurricular activities. Because what's happening with probably yours and my generation, in those days, everyone could play sports, whether they're good or not, doesn't matter.
Yeah.
And you call academics. Now it's, the shift has now focused on 90% academics and like 10% not even then.
Yeah.
Now we could look at the sizes of fields nowadays, you know how much sport kids do.
I mean, and
that's pretty scary.
Yeah, I mean, for rugby, I mean, it's not that big in Malaysia. Do you see more local people sending kids to play rugby, or are there more expats?
Actually, there's a lot more people. The wonderful thing the past year that I've seen is the growth of junior rugby in this country is phenomenal. We, from having just two clubs having it, now we've had, we've got tournaments upon tournaments. The last big tournament they had was the KL Saracens Junior Tournament. It had 1,000 over teams. Now, 1,000 times 10, or actually times 15.
Wow. Mm.
And there are teams that came from Hong Kong as well and Singapore, but the bulk of it came from Malaysia.
Right.
Oh. I mean, it's amazing.
I have a kind of fitness-related question then, if you like. I've never played rugby here in Malaysia.
Yeah.
How do you cope with the heat when you're running around? I mean, because obviously you sweat a lot, you smell a lot. Not you personally, but in the UK, it tends to fall in the season where it's cooler.
Yeah.
It's kind of, you can cope with it a little bit. But here in Malaysia, how do you kind of deal with it?
Most of the senior games start at 5 p.m. anyway.
Right.
The weekends is 5:30.
Yeah.
To 6 o'clock. At the most, games will start at 2:45, 3 o'clock. In the middle of the afternoon. But it's different countries have different environments. I mean, if you're going to play in Fiji, Fijians are one top.
Yeah.
And they've got hot weather.
Well, they've got very hot weather, yeah.
Yeah, Singapore. I mean, Hong Kong, lucky, they've got monsoon, typhoon, whatever. Yeah. Nice cold weather. But again, when it's an advantage to us when teams, for example, we're going to be playing in the Asia Rugby Championship. An advantage that we have is we're used to the weather.
Yeah. Mm.
So when oppositions come down to Malaysia to play against us, we've already got that. You know, we're conditioned to play in the hot weather. It's like football when you play in Brazil, altitude.
Yeah.
So other teams suffer.
Yeah. So. Okay. So if folks wanted to send their kids, where would you suggest they send their kids to?
Send them to Cobra. Every Sunday's 4 p.m. to 6 p.m. Go to our website, www.cobrarugby.com, and you'll get all the information out there. Mm-hmm. Ask the questions, then the administrator, me, will answer it.
Why do you guys usually play rugby?
Padang Astaka. Padang Utara, it's called. It's the Astaka fields in Petaling Jaya, which is like 5 minutes away from our club.
Brilliant. Okay. Yeah. We'll take a short break, folks. We'll be back with news from Page 2 and, of course, Smarty Pants. We'll find out how much of a Smarty Pants he is in just a few minutes. I know he's looking forward to it. Yeah, right? Yeah, there we go. We'll be back. Of course, you are listening to That Time of Night here on BFM 89.9, The Business Station. BFM 89.9, The Business Station. It is That Time of Night. I'm Rich Bradbury.
And I'm Adeline Chu.
Over here we have
Rashid Saleh.
He's with us all the way through until 9 p.m. In a few minutes, we'll be testing his brain on Smarty Pants.
What?
How many knocks have you had while you've been out? You know,
too
a few
many.
Knocks around the head.
What?
Oh, we'll see if it's actually made a difference. Folks, we've got a news from Page 2 coming up right now. So
what's
have
the
a
name?
Listen. What's it called?
Where are we?
Here we are. It sounds a little bit like this.
Extra, extra, beat all
what's all the shouting?
All right. I'm going to talk to you about this story coming out of Brazil right now. Now, parts of Brazil, as we know, are quite crime-laden, you might say.
Really?
Really. And so these bunch of fellas had this quite interesting approach to how they wanted to rob a bank, right? just bear with me. So normally what would happen is they would walk in with firearms, you know, and they would hold up the bank, and then, you know, some people might or might not get hurt, and then they'd leave with a bunch of money. The police would chase them down, blah, blah, blah. Mm. These fellows decided they didn't want to cause any trouble to anybody in the bank, so they decided to break in while the bank was closed, right? Mm-hmm. So what they decided to do was to wrap themselves in tinfoil, right? And what it did, it actually negated the alarms from going off because it created a circuit. Right. So yes, how these things work is that normally if you walk in, they have these cameras that identify heat patterns and one thing or another, and it sets off an alarm.
Yeah.
So they thought, we'll just wrap ourselves up in tinfoil, and they managed to get through, and then it wasn't because all they would have gotten away with it, but all they forgot to do was to switch off the CCTV. So some fella is sat in the room, like, happens to look down and sees these balls of tinfoil crawling inside the bank. And he's like, what the heck is this? Uh-huh. Calls the police, of course. The alarms go off, and these fellas, they manage to escape without any, you know, without actually robbing anything. But this is not a bad idea.
Is there a picture?
Of course there's a picture. Look at this. I mean...
Oh, my God.
That's a really good idea.
It looks like a potato crawling through your bank. You know, is essentially
baked
what it looks like.
Baked potatoes going through.
So, and this is the thing.
How many of them?
Three, right? And I'm not sure if the police of this particular city have some kind of sense of humor. But what they did was to post up these pictures online saying, can you identify these men?
Oh my God, you can't even see the face.
Mr. Baked Potato.
Have you seen this man? And it's like, but they managed to find one of their lookouts. Apparently some guy was sat outside, not in tinfoil, you know, in a bush outside, you know, keeping eyes out for his friends who were inside. Mm. And so they've managed to catch this fella, and he's giving nothing up, of course. But yeah, wrapping yourself up in tinfoil. There you go. So that's an interesting story coming out of Brazil. Now, I know you've got a story for us, right?
Yes.
He's opening his folder.
Uh-oh. Hmm? Come on then.
My guy's like a teacher.
It's a story about a Russian teenager who won a competition to spend a month in a hotel with an adult entertainer. It's a very famous adult entertainer.
That kind of adult entertainer.
Yeah, Ekaterina Makarova. If you don't know who Ekaterina
Makarova
is, don't Google it because you'll get banned.
Yeah.
I don't even think it will open,
right?
Yeah. No. Ekaterina Makarova. Right, yeah.
Yeah, just
you want me to spell it out, guys?
No.
Okay. So basically, won this lottery through a games site. And the thing is, he's 16 years old.
Uh-oh.
And his mother was upset because he's got exams. Uh-huh. The fact that she was upset is one thing, but she was upset because he's got his exams going on.
At the same time.
At the same time, and she wouldn't let him go because he had his exams on. A 16-year-old, you know, boy, blonde, blue-eyed boy, who won a lottery to spend
1 month
with... And he's disappointed because his mother said he's got exams.
Is she going to let him stay, though?
I mean, God.
No. Cannot. You have your exams.
It's like, Ma. If I was a mother, I would say the same as well. In the first place, why not money if he won a lottery?
Yes.
The prize was
to spend a month.
That was the lottery prize, to spend a month.
16-year-old? No.
Yeah.
No way.
In Moscow.
But why? But that's the age of consent.
That's because of you guys. You guys are guys. Obviously, you guys would win. But as a mother...
You're a mother now.
No, I mean, if I was a mother, I would say no to my kid.
The mother did say that this is not real. Even a week is too much. They should give us 100,000 rubles, which is £931.
Right. Okay.
Instead, we'll be happy about it. Such a prize. How could they get such an idea for a 16-year-old boy? I'm shocked. I've not seen the girl.
Right. She's been Googling that immediately afterwards. Wow. And then she went, no.
Yeah.
But
she would have said yes.
Couple of questions.
Yes.
They've tied in with a games website?
Yeah, well, that's the thing. He's 16 years old.
Right. Which makes sense on a games website, right?
So,
but why would they be linking adult entertainment?
Oh, come on. I mean, gambling and adult entertainment usually goes hand in hand.
I guess so. So.
You boys.
You win a prize. Hey!
You win a bigger prize.
Yeah. Well, depends.
Arguably.
How big?
Not unless your mum's watching.
Mm.
Anyway.
Really?
Right.
Really? Guys,
couldn't go because he had exams on.
That's
obviously.
It.
What's more important? Exams?
She was upset because...
You imagine this, right? Yeah. Say this guy, this young boy, 16, turns 21.
Right.
Can you imagine him telling his friends what his mum did to him?
So it's all about coolness, right?
Of course.
Like, hey, guys, guess what I did back at 16 years old?
You know, I won a month in a room with a adult entertainer. Yeah. And my mum said I couldn't go.
Hey, yeah. You guys are different now. Cannot. Our found mother, no.
I think it's like, you know, wow, it's a, like a trip
would you
of a
allow
lifetime.
Your daughter, absolutely. Would you allow your daughter to do that?
To
I mean,
it's
a
female
it's a
adult attend, you
no,
know,
no, female, I mean,
I would ask her. I said, do you want to go? It's a trip to Moscow. Go
it's a trip to Moscow. Fair enough.
Looking
fair
at
enough.
It from a different point of view.
Absolutely.
I wouldn't know what her mum would say, but yeah, I say it's a trip to Moscow.
Come on then.
Okay, my story. Okay.
Go on then. Okay. Yeah. Okay.
Adult.
Okay.
Yeah. Uh-huh, so my story is about proposal.
Take some photos. Okay. Anyway. Moving along.
Moving swiftly. Okay.
That's sick.
So okay. It's about. Okay. It's about proposal.
Uh-huh.
Okay. So this guy, what he did was he proposed to his girlfriend by he climbed up a very very steep cliff. Okay. Just to take a video of himself proposing to his girlfriend.
Right.
Okay.
Uh-huh.
Now, the good news was his girlfriend said yes.
Okay.
The bad news was he now faces a hefty bill for his rescue because he got stuck up there.
Oh, he got stuck. Oh,
yes.
Dear.
It's 600 feet. That's about 180 meters
plan
up
B,
high.
Plan B, mate. Have a plan B. It'd be even worse if he got to the top and she said no. Can you imagine?
I know, right?
There goes that favorite ring they wanted to get. Like, discount.
Yeah. We've got to pay for my rescue services, darling.
Yeah, I think it's going to cost...
Where was this?
California.
Oh, these Californians.
Yeah.
I bet he's vegetarian as well. Yeah. I bet he is.
That's why he was at a cliff.
Uh-huh. Whoa.
Yeah, so a helicopter had to save him.
Was his name Cliff?
No. His name is Michael Bank.
Michael what?
Bank.
He sounds like one of those adult entertainers.
Banking on a cliff, wasn't he?
Oh. I see what you did there. Okay, right. So he climbed the top of a cliff. Proposed.
Got stuck up there. He shot a video of himself with his phone.
Yeah.
Ended up with less money in his bank.
Oh! has he not heard of green screens? You know, he could have done a green screen. Come on.
Maybe he didn't know about it.
All right. He lives in California.
The question
is... home of Hollywood and adult entertainment.
Well, the question is, why a cliff?
I don't know.
Oh, exciting. Adventurous.
Uh-huh. But normally don't you
have... No, is it romantic?
But normally don't you have the other person with you that you want to propose
that's
to?
That's right. Someone needs to shoot a video of you, right?
Well,
I mean, get a better camera instead
no,
of
I
using
meant,
your
wouldn't
phone.
He want to take his girlfriend with him to propose?
Exactly.
Yeah. Right?
Maybe
okay.
He wanted
okay.
to broadcast
all right, anyway.
Or
all right, anyway, moving on. We've got this thing that we call
Californians.
Smarty pants.
Are you ready?
No. I'll do it.
3 minutes to answer as many general knowledge questions as you can. If you don't know the answer, say skip. We move right on.
Okay,
here we go.
Skip.
The Bennett family appeared in which Jane Austen novel? Pride and Prejudice or Sense and Sensibility?
Sense and Sensibility.
Uh-uh.
I knew it was the first one.
What do you call a triangle with two sides of equal length? Isosceles or equilateral?
Equilateral.
It's the other one.
Oh, no, sorry.
Which nation gave women the right to vote first? New Zealand or England?
Oh, New Zealand.
Well done. If you are celebrating your Pearl wedding anniversary, how many years have you been married? 30 or 60?
Oh, 60.
30.
Oh, really?
Yeah. What are baby swans called? Cygnets or cyborgs?
Cygnets.
What is the capital of capital city of Canada? Ottawa or Toronto?
Ottawa.
What planet did Superman come from? Krypton or Gotham?
Krypton.
Who was the Greek god of music? Apollo or Aphrodite?
Apollo.
What is the name of the boy in Winnie the Pooh? Christopher Robin or Charles Robin?
Christopher.
What does HTML stand for? Hypertext Markup Language or Hypertype Millennial Language?
The first one.
Correct. What is the only city in the world that lies on two continents? Istanbul or Moscow?
Moscow.
Istanbul. What is the most common element on Earth? Oxygen or hydrogen?
Hydrogen.
Oxygen.
H2O.
Hey, is H2O.
That,
I think we should double check
no.
that. I'm not
hydrogen,
sure about that.
H2O.
No.
H2O.
I'm questioning that as well. Yeah, okay, we'll come back to that.
Okay.
Which musical instrument was invented by the Belgian Adolphe Sax? Can you have a guess?
Saxophone?
Correct.
Yeah.
What is the name of the longest river in South America? Nile or the Amazon?
South America?
Yeah.
Amazon.
Correct. What is the traditional and popular wrestling sport of Japan?
Sumo.
Correct. What number is represented by the letters XIX in Roman numerals?
That is 19.
Well done, yes. You know, schooled in England, huh?
Latin.
Name the third known major planet from the sun in our solar system. Earth or Venus? Which non-metallic element has the chemical symbol S? Sulfur or silicon?
Sulfur is...
Correct. What is the name of the Green Hornet's car? The Black Beauty or the Mustang 1000?
Mustang.
It's the Black Beauty, mate.
Oh.
What is the colour of the top stripe on the flag of Malaysia? Is it red or white?
Oh, red.
Yes. In 2013, Wilbur Smith released a novel called Vicious What? Circle or cycle?
Cycle.
Circle.
Circle.
The Congress Column is a landmark of which European national capital city? Brussels or Paris?
Brussels.
Correct. In 2015, Tu Youyou was awarded a Nobel Prize in which category? Medicine or peace?
Peace.
Medicine. The game of Mahjong originated in which country? China or Japan?
Oh, God. China?
Aha. In which field is the Oscar Awards given for excellent work?
For what?
Which field?
I don't know. Film.
Correct.
Oh, right. That's a kind of question. Okay.
Final question, because we had a bit of a ding-dong. Which of the following is used as a raw material for a nuclear reactor to produce nuclear power?
Plutonium.
Here's what? The options. Uranium.
Uranium.
Okay, you're yeah, right. We'll give you that. Sorry. We'll give you that. Plutonium, we'll be right back after these messages, folks, and we'll double-check on one of those questions, because
I think hydrogen.
Hydrogen is definitely more common than oxygen. Right, yes. We'll be right back after these messages. Please don't go anywhere, folks.
Unless it's CO2. Oh, okay, carbon dioxide.
This is BFM 89.9, the business station. BFM 89.9, the business station. It is that time of night. My name is Rich Bradbury.
And I'm Madeline Jones.
Over here we have...
Flashy Sally.
You didn't sound like that before. What's happened?
I don't know.
What happened to those two rugby balls you got? You
know? Left them behind.
All right, just before the break, we had a whole bunch of dings, some dongs, controversial question about the most common element on Earth. We finally nailed it down, of course. Oh, it is, in fact, oxygen. We were kind of dinging and donging over that, right? Anyway, so what we'll do is we'll go through some of the questions he got wrong first, and then we'll find out how well he scored.
So the Bennet family appear in which Jane Austen novel is Pride and Prejudice? Oh, yeah. What do you call a triangle with two sides of equal length? Is
Isosceles?
If you are celebrating your pearl wedding, how many years have you been married? Is it 30?
Mm-hmm.
What is the only city in the world to lie on two continents? Is Istanbul?
I know that.
What is the name of the green...
Constantinople.
Yeah.
What is the name of the Green Hornet's car? Is Black Beauty.
It's the Black Beauty.
In 2013, Wilbur Smith released a novel titled Vicious What is Vicious Cycle?
Of course it is. Right then, let's have a little... let's have wait, what do we call it? What do we call it?
Drum roll.
That's it.
Ladies and gentlemen, Rashid Sally scored 19 points.
It's pretty good.
Oh, all right.
It
thanks.
Puts you towards the top of the table. Don't sound so disappointed.
Yeah, I know.
That's all I got, eh?
Yeah.
Yeah, I wanted more. I wanted more, eh?
Never mind.
Maybe I could have read that a little bit faster. I could have done that.
No,
I'll tell you what. I'll give you one extra question.
No. Oh, no.
Just for fun, yeah. As dry as a bone and as fit as a fiddle are examples of what type of speech, metaphors or similes?
Metaphors.
No, it's the other one.
No.
Yeah, similes.
Oh, right, because metaphors are...
Yeah, if it's, go on.
Never mind. I'm never going to go there anymore.
Right, folks.
No acronyms coming out of mine.
You know what? This is the second time that I have come into the studio unprepared with a fact. I don't have a fact.
You don't have a fact.
I don't have a fact today.
I'm so sorry, Richard.
Have you got two?
I only have one fact for today. Right. I can't share one with you.
You can't share a fact with me?
I can't.
Okay, you give me your fact then, and I'll quickly search for a fact.
Okay, I'll do as slow as I can.
Do it as slow as possible, okay. So I have time to Google.
Tell us a fact.
So my fact is about elephant.
Okay.
Okay, you guys like elephant?
Of course everybody likes elephants.
Really?
They never forget.
That's
have you
not
been to
what
the
I
zoo?
Tell my sister, but
I went to zoo in Negara, the first animal I saw was elephant.
Uh-huh.
It's great.
What was her name? Just joking.
Ouch.
Okay, so elephants have three times the number of neurons that humans have. And no one knows why they aren't smarter than us.
Okay, that's a good question. All right,
that's subjective. You know why? Because
uh-huh.
They are smart because they've got a long, long memory.
They never forget.
Yeah, they never forget. Yeah. So, I mean, for us humans saying, oh, they're
it's dumb.
Because they can't communicate.
In our way,
doesn't mean that they're
not
smart.
Does it say they call people what, Dumbo?
Dumbo. What?
That's a Disney.
Yeah, that's just mean. Okay.
That's a Disney created, like you know, They're okay. Very smart.
What's your fact?
I finally found a fact. It's not that great, but YouTube's early headquarters were above a pizzeria and Japanese restaurant in San Mateo in California.
And?
That was just a quick last minute fact.
I've got a fact.
Commission. Go on then.
I've got a fact.
Come on, let's hear it.
New Zealand All Blacks are the world champions in rugby.
Well done. Rashid Salih, thank you very much for coming on.
Thank you.
So what was the date of the performance that you were doing?
Okay, Act Olympics is going to be on 4th to the 8th of May, PJ Live Arts. And it's going to be on at 8:30 nightly for those five nights.
All right.
And that's going to be a lot of fun because no scripts. It's improv comedy.
Yeah.
It's like Whose Line Is It Anyway, but stage
version. Stuff.
And it's going to be a lot of fun.
Okay. We're
going to be there.
Right. So then, it has been that time of night. My name is Rich Bradbury.
And I'm Madeline Chung.
This is Sally.
There he goes. Good night, folks.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.
Hi, welcome to the Subway ad for $2.99 subs. How would you like it?
I'll take Drill Sergeant, please.
You got it.
All right, now listen up. I want each and every one of you to drop and give me a 6-inch meatball marinara, cold cut combo, veggie delight, or Black Forest ham on your choice of bread with any veggies you want for just $2.99 each.
Sir, yes, sir!
Subway! Make it what you want at participating restaurants. Additional charge for extras plus applicable tax. No additional discounts or coupons may be applied.